This is supposed to be the off season when it should be easier for me to come up with podcasts and topics, you know, ones that are evergreen and a little more whimsical. Instead, news is coming out in baseball faster than I can keep up with. But I'm going to do my best on Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available for free on all your podcasting catchers. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode, which I think will be the only one that we're going to drop on the 30th day of November 2021. But by the way things are going, who knows what's going to happen? Free agents are signing left and right. The playoffs are looking to expand. And let's not forget who's calling for a lockout here. Now, this show is available on YouTube, on all the places you can get your podcasts. If you've got a smart device, tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Bets with your boy Q and great analysis from Lee Sterling. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, I did two podcasts yesterday trying to catch the moment when Max Scherzer signed elsewhere. And well, I didn't get it in time, but yes, he did indeed sign with the Mets for 3 years and all the money in the world. I can't blame the Mets. They're trying to turn things around. You know, Canna they signed, and you know, at Escobar and Marte and Scherzer, they're making all these moves. They still don't have a manager yet. You know, I have a feeling they're going to make a splash. I have a feeling that Buck Showalter is going to become the manager, because why not? Why not have Buck Showalter manage the Mets? Why not? The guy needs to win a World Series title as a manager. Why the F not? But Scherzer, you know, I mean, it would be, as I said the other day, it would be the most Mets of all Mets moments if he breaks down as a Met. You think about some of the great players who washed out with the Mets. And, you know, sometimes you see some great Hall of Fame pitchers have not exactly their best years with the Mets. Pedro Martinez had one good year with the Mets, and then he faded out. And Tom Glavine had a couple of okay years with the Mets, and then he faded out. Warren Spahn, I bet you forgot he was a Met for about an hour and a half. There's a couple of Hall of Famers who you could look at and say, they were a Met? Yeah, for about a minute here or there. They're not all Tom Seaver. Is Tom Seaver the only Hall of Fame Met pitcher? I have to think about that for a second. Anyway, I digress. You know, okay, I have no problem with the signing, but, you know, he is a veteran pitcher, and it is a big risk. They're signing a bunch of veterans, which could all click, because the Mets are looking to just push the chips to the center of the table and win. And Marte and Canna and Escobar and Scherzer could all be great, or yikes. But there you go. It'd be nice if they had a manager. We'll see what's going to happen. Huge moves were going on today. First of all, the Rangers really think they're going to do something. They signed Marcus Semien to a big old contract. They acquired John Gray to a big old contract. And then they dropped the hammer on a 10-year deal for Corey Seager. Now, this is not the, you know, the Angels signing Albert Pujols to a 10-year deal when he was already in his 30s. You know, Seager is on the right side of 30, but it's on, you know, it's a 10 years is a long time. I thought he was going to maybe a 5 or 6 year deal to go to the Yankees, but he's going to Texas. Texas is, you know, they're getting aggressive. They're getting really aggressive. They really think some of the other teams in the American League West are going to fall apart, because they see the A's are going to be pulling the string on a rebuild. And I think they're hoping that the Astros fall apart, and they know the Angels can only angel. And so their main competition is going to be Seattle. I guess, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but they're putting on a lot of dough to bring aboard what's going to be, you know, at least in 2022, the middle of the infield of Semien and Seager, provided they stay healthy. Not been a problem for Semien, it's been a little bit of a problem for Seager. But alas, a Dodger legend, let's call him a Dodger legend. How many times are you going to have someone who was the NLCS and World Series MVP the same year? Doesn't happen often. One year that happened was LeVon Hernandez, and he should not have won the World Series MVP. Should have been Moises Alou. But, you know, there have been some instances. Daryl Porter did both. Let's see, who else did both? Madison Bumgarner, Willie Stargell, or Hershiser with the Dodgers did both. I'm just doing some of this off the top of my head. But Seager's in that class. It's the kind of postseason that he had in the truncated 2020 season. And so, you know, salute him, Dodger fans. But now Trey Turner's your shortstop. And Seager's going to be going off to Texas as Texas is looking for their first ever World Series title. But hey, just when you thought the Rangers are going to be trying to make the big old run, let's take a good long look at what the Seattle Mariners did. Remember that they were contending until the last day of the season. They were a 90-win team, and they just added Robbie Ray. Now, he has to get his physical, but he just signed a 5-year deal, and he is going to join. He's going to have a rotation with Marco Gonzalez, Chris Flexen, and Logan Gilbert. And provided Robbie Ray is indeed the pitcher that he was last year with the Toronto Blue Jays, suddenly the Seattle Mariners could very well be the team to beat. You know, it was a great move for Seattle. Man, this postseason, this offseason is being a bit of a punch in the mouth to the Toronto Blue Jays, who just lost Semien, just lost Ray. Now, they brought in Kevin Gausman. So they're, you know, with Gausman and Barrios, I mean, they're still going to have a good rotation. It's tough to lose a Cy Young Award winner. Bad things happen. So there you go. The Seattle Mariners are making a big old run for it. The Texas Rangers are making a big old run for it. A couple other moves were going on today. Alex Cobb signed with the Giants as they're trying to fill in the void left by Kevin Gausman. Daniel Hudson looks like he's going to the Dodgers to give them some bullpen depth. The Braves brought in Kirby Yates to give them some bullpen depth. And who else? Michael Lorenzen, who is has been an outfielder and a pitcher, is signing with the Angels, who also have, you may notice, an outfielder pitcher on their team. And I mentioned the other day that Sandy Alcantara has signed a long-term extension with the Miami Marlins. So if tomorrow is indeed the deadline before the lockout, then that means there's a couple of big names are still out there. Castellanos of Cincinnati wants a big time contract. He's probably going to sign with Texas. Why not? He's probably going to sign with the Texas Rangers because, you know, there you go. I tell you, the team I wish would sign him would be the Cleveland Indians. I'm sorry. Oh, old habits die hard. The Guardians, the Cleveland Guardians. It's got to be about 4 or 5 years. I wanted them to drop the Indians name, but it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. The Guardians can pitch. They can't hit. Why not bring in a professional hitter like that to be in the middle of their lineup? Oh, the Marlins also picked up Jacob Stallings, who is, you know, it's not exactly a blockbuster move, but sometimes it's the moves that you don't expect turn out to be the biggest moves. I mean, who thought that the acquisition of Jorge Soler was going to be such a huge moment for the Atlanta Braves? But that's Jacob Stallings is a Gold Glove catcher who played for the Pirates last year, in case you don't know who he is. And the Marlins are going to have Sandy Alcantara, all-star caliber pitcher, Trevor Rogers. Looks like Ciso Sanchez is coming back. Eliezer Hernandez, Max Meyer, Edward Cabrera. They'll probably pick up another pitcher who may be, you know, non-tendered here or there. The Marlins are actually putting together a halfway decent starting rotation. And to have a Gold Glove catcher catching them, you know, look at I'm not saying that it's going to be 97 or 2003 in Miami, but, you know, this is a team that made the postseason in the truncated 2020, and there's some young talent on that team. And having all that good, solid young pitching on the squad, get a good, solid young catcher in there. So pretty good move for Miami, who, you know, who is being more aggressive than I thought they were going to be in this particular offseason. But it's, you know, because the door is starting to slam down, we're probably going to see Carlos Correa sign somewhere and Trevor Story sign somewhere. One of them's going to sign with the Yankees. Now, I've said it here before, I've said it again, Correa and the Astros just come up with an agreement. I'm not an Astros fan. Believe me, read Astros Twitter. They hate me, and I'm not an Astros fan. Correa belongs on the Astros. He is the Astros. He should be an Astro for life. The Astros can afford to sign him. I don't know if they can afford not to sign him. What he means to the team, and if they're trying to put something together and get back to the World Series and win a title for Dusty, win a title that doesn't have people shaking their heads going, really, really, really? Okay, put Correa back in there. He's the star of the team. He's the face of the franchise. He knows what it's all about. He needs to fit there. The Astros got the money to do it. Make the signing. If not, Detroit may be able to sign him, or the Yankees. Yeah, Yankee fans, you'll love them. Stop it. But the Yankees got to sign a shortstop, too. And I heard, like, Andrelton Simmons. I said, no, no, no. Get Story or Correa. They missed the boat with Machado, who was floating around unsigned until, what was it, late February, early March of 2019. You could have inserted Machado right in the middle of the Yankee lineup and have his bat and have his defense. No, I don't like the way he plays the game. Shut up. If you say that, I'm sorry. I got no patience for you. He's an all-star caliber player. And you would love him. Yeah, man, can't be planes. Oh, really? You don't like dazzling defense and big power? You don't like that? Really? Okay, yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that. The Yankees got to make a move to fill the shortstop hole. Again, not a Yankee fan, but I am a baseball fan. And the Yankees need to fill that shortstop hole, let Glaber play elsewhere. And with all-star caliber shortstops being gobbled up, Semien's off the market. I really thought it was Seager. I'm really stunned the Yankees didn't sign Seager. I thought he was a perfect fit for the Yankees. But what do I know? Well, one thing I do know is this. There's a lockout going on, and I don't want anyone here to forget what that actually means. I've read a couple of things that are playing the both sides angle, and the fact of the matter is, that's not what's happening. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But right now, I need a boost of energy, and what better way to get a boost of energy than to grab a Built Bar? You know, this is the holiday season, and you want to grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar. That's Built Bar, with so much holiday goodness. Rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, high in protein, and you get the best of both worlds. It's delicious and healthy. It's a five-tool player, and there's more than five flavors out there. You got the mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, or my personal favorite, which is raspberry. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all those holiday shoppers. Or if you're standing in endless shopping lines, those of you who don't know how to order things online, Built Bar can give you that extra something you're going to need to keep going. Throw one in your jacket, throw one in your purse, carry one in your pocket. I don't care, because tis the season. Peace, love, and don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties, because people are so passionate about their flavors, they'll fight for it. It's the type of argument you want to avoid. So here's the deal. You want to cozy up with something warm? Here's a holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar in a piping hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little bit and give your beverage a little bit of that Built Bar flavor. Plus, you'll have a nice, melty Built Bar to go with it. But guess what? We've got ourselves a great offer. Built.com, promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. And get those Built. Built Bars. Fred, more than one tweet, including one from Buster Olney, who should know better, about how strange it is that the owners and the players are going to be facing a lockout when there's so much money being thrown around and it seems to be, you know, things seems to be healthy. Okay. But this isn't the players doing a lockout. The owners are threatening with a lockout. You do know that, right? That's the difference between a lockout and a strike. Players strike, owners lock out. Owners can't go on strike, but they can lock out the players. And you know what? And we don't like the collective bargaining agreement. We're going to lock you out until we get one. Okay. That is a bargaining tool that the owners have at their disposal that they have used in the past. 1995 spring training, when there were replacement players, they were not replacement players there because of strike. They were there because of a lockout. There was a lockout for spring training of 1990. There's a looming lockout that would happen on December 1st. Now, if there's going to be a lockout or a strike or whatever, I prefer it to be in the off season when there are no games being played. Lockout all you want, as long as we get the games played. But for those of you out there, I did a podcast a month and a half ago where I was saying, don't do the heavy lifting for the owners. Okay? Why is it always people siding with the owners on things like this? If you are taking a, well, both sides are doing it, both sides are doing it. It's funny that both sides are on the way. This is not a both sides situation. The owners are threatening with a lockout, not the players. Okay? And I would be the same thing, same spiel, if we were like in August or, you know, mid-season and the players went on strike. I wouldn't be blaming the owners for the strike. That is the players who go on strike. Now, I may agree or disagree, and I admit I tend to side with the players because I'm old enough to remember when the owners were guilty of collusion. Okay? This was not two equal parties. One side was telling the truth, the other side was not. The owners were the ones who were crying poverty, saying teams are going to fold, while at the same time not opening their books and expanding. Show me a business model where we say we're going to have to close down stores and open new ones. Found guilty of collusion. This is not a conspiracy theory. They were found guilty of collusion in the 1980s. I'm old enough to remember that. I'm old enough to remember when they tried to smash free agency, okay? And they paid for it. And yeah, that's why the players didn't trust the owners in 1994 when they were crying poverty and tried to put in a salary cap. That's what led to the 94 strike, which was a strike that the players had. But that spring training, it was a lockout. What is being threatened here is not the players. It's not always two sides. And Buster Olney, again, great writer, great host of a podcast, but every once in a while carries too much water for the owners, for my particular taste, was pulling the whole, well, you know, both sides, the owners may be threatening the lockout, but it's the players who aren't budging, which is, of course, the classic, hey, nice house you have here. It'd be a shame if anything happened to it mentality. This is the potential lockout. It's a potential lockout over the CBA expiring and the owners looking to play hardball on it. Now, there's tons of money being made on both sides. That is a both sides situation. But there's also a middle class of players who are getting squeezed out. And so you can look at all the big time contracts being thrown around. It's like, well, how can it be unhealthy? Semien got this and Scherzer got that and Robbie Ray got this. But there's a whole middle class of players who are going to get shut out again and unsigned because teams would rather have a couple of stars and a bunch of other players basically up from the minor leagues. And there's going to be a bunch of teams who are not going to compete, who are not going to bother putting a contending team on the field, which is why I'm in complete favor of anything in the collective bargaining agreement that rewards putting a quality team on the field. I'm all for a draft lottery. I'm for abolishing the draft. If we're doing all sorts of shenanigans where you're not even drafting the best player with the number one pick, then what are we doing here? What are we even doing? I'm saying abolish the draft. Force teams to sign good players. And teams all have money. They all have money. You wouldn't be owning a team if you didn't have money. There's no cash-strapped teams, which is why there should be a salary floor. You should never have a team whose payroll is, you know, is microscopic and say, well, you know, like, you know, people say, well, Max Scherzer is making more money than like the Pirates or the Orioles. Well, that's more of a sign that the Pirates and Orioles aren't putting a quality product on the field. That's not on Scherzer. Scherzer got what he got. But let's start seeing the Orioles and the Pirates, two franchises that have had, what, four or five relevant seasons in the last 20 some odd years combined, that maybe put something together where they're not rewarded for having 100 lost seasons. They're not rewarded for putting a garbage product on the field for another year and another year and another year. I'm all for that. But when you go out there, remember, this is a lockout. There's a lot of people who want to do the knee-jerk reaction of blaming the players. They make so much money when school teachers make this. I'm a school teacher. I know. I'm not going to make Marcus Semien money, okay? But I also know I can't hit, all right? The players should get what they deserve. They should get what the market bears. And the market should bear 30 teams trying to put a quality product on the field. But it's a surefire bet that there's going to be a bunch of teams out there who are going to be 100 lost teams and making no effort to change it if the current CBA in its existence. Easy for you to say. And if you're going to be making any bets, what you should be doing is going to Bet Online, which remains the number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive the bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season and moving on to 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, I'm going to do that thing, which you probably shouldn't do on a podcast, but I am going to update my Twitter to see if Carlos Correa signed with anyone. And as of right now, he is still unsigned. He is still unsigned. One of the things that was floated around in this is according to Jesse Rogers of ESPN, was that there was a proposed 14 team setup for the postseason, for the 14 teams to make the playoffs. And there was all sorts of things, like you would have the division winners, the top teams get a bye, the next team gets to choose who they want to play in a wild card round. If they do it here, let's just be totally honest here, okay? As if I've been lying this whole podcast. If they do this 14 team playoff situation, do you know who's going to watch it? Me. Do you know who's going to have fun watching it? Me. Do you know who's going to be cheering and say, wow, this is so exciting? Me. I admit that. And every time there has been an expansion of the playoffs in my lifetime, I have fought against it. And every single time that I fought against it, in the end, I've wound up loving it. And it's funny, as I'm doing research for this book that I'm writing about the 1972 postseason, that 72 was really the first year that the league championship series was exciting. There was a great league championship series in 1972 between Oakland and Detroit, another great one between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Up until then, 69 was the first league championship series, the first time that the playoffs expanded beyond the World Series. From 1903 until 1968, it was very simple. There was an American League, a National League. Whoever was in first place gets to play in the World Series. But expansion made it a little bit like, hey, look, at why don't we split this up a little bit? Because there's a bunch of markets that are just never going to experience postseason. So they created divisions. You had East, West, and the American and the National League. And now you had four teams. And when I'm reading about it, 69 was a bust. Both league championship series were sweeps. 70 was a bust. Both league championship series were a sweep. 71 was a bust. One of them was a sweep. The other was the team won one game. 72, they were both thrilling. Finally, the playoffs had some legs and were worthwhile watching. But those first bunch of years, the league championship series was considered to be a dud, an absolute dud. And people wound up, people were writing at the time, why are we doing this? These playoffs stink. Just get back to the World Series. Well, I grew up with the playoffs like that, and they expanded the NLCS and the ALCS from best of five to best of seven. And I said, no, it should be best of five. And then immediately the best of seven series became spectacular. And I said, keep it like that. You got to have only the division winners. No wild card. I hate the idea of the wild card. First year of the wild card, 95, unbelievably exciting. Couldn't get into it more. Ah, but now they're expanded, so there's a wild card game. I hate that. Don't put a wild card game. Now I love it. Okay? So admittedly, I've been wrong about resisting expansion of the postseason. My first reaction when I saw expanding to 14 teams was, I'm not a fan of that. But I also know I'll wind up loving it. Now, what I like about having 5 and 5 is that it means that the playoffs are going to be, ideally, the best third of all the teams in baseball. Two-thirds of the teams won't make it, one-third will be in the postseason. And that was, there was something about that. And there's also, there's a certain randomness to the playoffs. Just look this year. Team that won 88 games. They were really great after this time. Yeah, I know. But over the time, you have a couple of 100-win teams in the National League, and it was a team that didn't win 90, wound up being the World Series winner because you get hot at the right time. You know, the Rays were heads and shoulders the best team in the American League. They won one postseason game. They lost to the Red Sox, who were a hot and cold team all year long, who almost got to the World Series themselves. So, what I felt was the advantage, and I've said this on the show before, one of the advantages of having fewer teams in the postseason is it honors the randomness of the postseason. Because, yeah, it's random, and the fact that the Braves wound up winning the World Series feels a little weird, but it's justified because you still had to be an elite team to make the postseason at all. So, you know, with very few exceptions, you're going to have a good team win the World Series. May not be the best team, but the randomness is addressed because the gauntlet of even making the playoffs is so arduous. If you say half the team or nearly half the teams are going to make it, 14 out of 30, and it's going to be, they're going to have to expand by two. So it'll be eventually 14 out of 32. So not quite half. It leads to the better chance of a mediocre team running the gauntlet and getting hot at the right time. And there's also, let's face it, when you're a team, when you're an owner and you know, like, hey, if we only have to be one of the 14 best teams to earn a playoff spot, it doesn't put the sense of urgency to put together a super deep team. You don't need to spend tons of money. You just have to be a mid 80 win team and call it a day. I'm not a big fan of that. I'd like to see more good teams. But look it, philosophically, I'm not crazy about the expansion of the playoffs. But I also know me, and I love watching baseball. And in the end, I'll wind up loving it. So I'm not going to resist that. I just like having the entry for a long season be fewer teams in the postseason. My counter to a 14-team playoff run is a shorter season. Is a shorter season because I don't want the baseball playoffs going deep into November. I am all for, well, look at, I've said this before, I'm all for ending the season on Labor Day. Absolutely. Start the playoffs in September. I don't want the playoffs going deep. I don't want the playoffs going on now. Okay? That's not what I'm into right now. It's November. In a couple of days, it'll be December. Baseball was played this month, and that's a little too late. So if we're going to have a wider field in the postseason, then let's have fewer games. That was the mentality when they had the expanded playoffs in 2020, was that it was a shorter season. So with the shorter season, you need to make the playoff picture a little wider. Well, if we're going to expand it like this, then think about cutting the season down to 140 games. I'm for that. I'm for that. If we're going to preserve some like the home run records and everything like that. But if we're going to cast a wider net, then let's have the gauntlet be shorter. Maybe we'll save some pitchers' arms. Maybe teams won't be looking like a MASH unit by the time they get to the postseason. I don't know, and neither do you. Nor do I know what's going to happen tomorrow as the door is coming down on a potential lockout. That is the decision of the owners. Remember that when you try to do the both sides thing. I'll watch expanded playoffs. I wish they would stay at this for a little while because I like this. I like the wild card game and everything. What I really want is to abolish divisions. I said I'd like realignment, but if you're not going to do the realignment, you still have the National League and the American League, then just have it be top three teams in the American League, top three teams in the National League get in, and there's a one-game playoff between the fourth and fifth. That's what I think would be super fair and the most equitable and make it really competitive. I think the divisions don't mean anything anymore. But alas, we've got them. And you've got this podcast, which I'm going to do all year round, and we're going to have another podcast tomorrow because there's no doubt we're going to find out what's going to happen with Story and Correa, who have probably signed while I'm recording this. So thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting catchers. And make your second listen be Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis from Lee Sterner. Talking about a crazy 30th day of November 2021, which is just going to get crazier as it goes on. This is Locked On MLB, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sullivan.